You are now listening to the New Old Heads Podcast, premiered every Thursday at noon Eastern Standard Time at bringdowntheband.com, and brought to you by No Bad Ideas, Coleman Dental, Printfinity, Indie CD and Vinyl, and Sun King Brewery. Support the New Old Heads by visiting our Patreon at patreon.com/newoldheads.
You are now tuned in to the New Old Heads Podcast. I am Major 7. The entire crew is here, starting off with my man, the voice of Indianapolis. Hey, Moore, what's happening?
Not too much, you know, just another day. I would say another dollar, but, you know, that's not guaranteed either. So we just got to keep it moving any way we can.
I'm with you. I'm with you when you're right, brother. I'm with you when you're right. Over to my left, my man, DJ J Diff. What's happening, man?
Salutations, good sir. What's happening?
Oh, man, I can't call it, man. Just it was good having some conversations with you in the pre-show about that darkness. It gets dark out here.
That dog, it got dark on that bus, man. You know what it is.
my boy, I know what it is. Yes, sir. Right out the band room. We own it. Rounding out the squad as always, live from the Bringing Down the Band headquarters, my man Longevity. How are you, sir?
Doing swell. Doing swell indeed. Thank you for asking.
All right. Good to see you as always. Good to see all of y'all. Indeed. As always, shout out to the chat. I believe we are up and popping in the chat. With my Twitch, I see Jay Brookins, Mr. Treese is in here. David, I see you. Who else did I miss? I think I saw E in here. D Frog as well.
D Frog.
If I miss you, I'm sorry.
That's to all the lurkers. You know, it's all good.
Yeah, the lurker. If you lurking, that's cool too. We hope y'all enjoy the show. We appreciate you. Make yourself announced.
I like how D Frog always uses the little emoji chick waving her hands whenever he's announcing this stuff.
I like it too.
Yeah, he's consistent.
D-Frog, I like that.
D-Frog is consistent. Yeah, he's consistent. So, all right, man, let's go ahead and get into the rundown. I know we started a little late. Let's see. Chica was in the news, and I don't know if everybody knows Chica, but she is extremely dope as an MC. Very popular. I don't know if she... it's popular from a standpoint of just, you know, household, everybody knowing her. But she's an incredible MC, has one of the best, probably one of the top five Tiny Desk performances that I've personally seen, in my opinion. I love her. She gets down. Lyrically, she's dope, dope creative. But she got into some conversation with, had some conversations with some people on Twitter about, you know, women in hip hop. And one of the comments that got it started was women aren't allowed to be mediocre, not in rap. They have to be a freaking monster just to even get a chance. Her response was exactly, you can't slack because we're already at a disadvantage since hip hop is male dominated. Meanwhile, Blueface literally farts on the mic and every time and can exit, can exist in the genre with no problem. Show me the female him with the equal amount of success. She also talked about, let's see, there's another, I had a couple quotes pulled up. It says, where's that other one? Yeah, here it is. So someone typed, I love this rap talk. From the commercial field, a lot of women rappers are better than men. There's no way you telling me Young Boy will have a better verse than Meg or Doja. I scratch my head. However, if someone say that Meg will eat someone like Conway track, I guess that's different. And she says, period. And I love seeing black people thrive regardless. 80% of male rappers who are successful can't hold a match to the women's bars. So a lot of comments in here that I thought the Blueface one is hilarious to me. And I think it's 100% accurate from what she said, because I'm trying to get away from trash. He's not that good at his craft. In my opinion, he's not that good.
I think a lot of people have said that and time again. So
okay, I'm just saying.
I don't know about that argument.
For what she's saying, though, I think she has a valid point. But how do y'all feel about that, man? In terms of the comments that I read and the disadvantage that she says, you know, women have coming into it off top before they can even, you know, get into the door because of how male dominated the game is. Jay Moore, I'll come to you first. Think she has a point?
At one point, I definitely would have said that she had a point, because it's like, okay, there was that long space of time where it was Nicki and nobody else. But right now, you know, especially someone who's in the clubs, women dominate as far as like what gets played. Okay. And I thought the thing that she said about Blueface was funny, but at the same time, Blueface has Thotiana, and that's it. I remember where it was one Saturday night, you know, a new Blueface record came out, and Lockstar was like, all right, it's early, let's give it a chance. Shout out to my man, DJ Lockstar. And played that shit, and we couldn't even get through the whole record. It was terrible. And, you know, that's really the last time we played anything. And the reason we played Thotiana is because the remix with Cardi on it.
That was a big record.
So honestly, if you're really trying to have a record, if you're trying to have a record that gets played, you know, if you get like a lot of DJs now is like, oh, if they see, oh, the City Girls are on it, Meg is on it. Okay, that's going to be a big, as far as, I'm just saying, as far as commercial club, right now, this is the most balanced I've ever seen it. You know, I mean, and this is coming from somebody who's been out here. And I've like I said, for a long time, it was Nicki and nobody else. And now there's, you know, Nicki, Doja Cat, City Girls, Sweetie, you know, Miss Mulatto or Big Lotto or whatever she changed her name to. Like, there are so many women who are getting an opportunity. Now, I think it's harder for women just because the level of like, think about just when you go out on a date. I can throw on a sweater, a pair of jeans, and a pair of shoes, my coat, you know, and some deodorant. I'm ready to go. Mm-hmm. You know, when you take your lady out, she's got to go through all sorts of stuff to get ready to go out and quote unquote be presentable to the world. It's a whole different level of, you know, going into the presentation. It's always going to be harder for female entertainers to make themselves presentable and not be talked about, especially in this social media era. But, you know, even for the, you know, the quote unquote, you know, more lyrical, you know, I heard Rhapsody, you know, her one of her records is being used as the promo for the new Queen Latifah show, The Equalizer. It's on CBS. Like, so I heard that
I
song,
and that.
It was premiered right after the Super Bowl. So I heard Rhapsody about 50 times over the weekend, you know, so I'm loving
that.
I'm just saying, women, this is the most equal, like, and the thing is, I'm not going to say the most equal footing ever, because, you know, early 90s, you had plenty of women who were in hip hop and thriving, you know, whether it be, you know, the commercial groups like Oaktown 357, Salt and Pepper, or somebody who's down with the native tongues like Queen Latifah, who I just mentioned, or Moni Love, you know.
Moni Love.
It's the most balanced I've seen it in a long, long time. I think there are disadvantages to the marketing, because, yes, this is a male-dominated era, and, like, men are going to try to present what they want to see and what they want to hear. Yeah, but I think women are really pushing back and doing the records they want to do. You know, these are, and women are supporting these women for the first time in a long time.
That right there is a good point. That's a
lot of times. Problem is, women don't support female artists, and so now I really see women supporting female artists. Like, women, a lot of times you didn't hear female artists in the club because women didn't request them, and so now women actually like, hey, I'm riding for this person, so we're gonna go.
Hold that thought. J-Dip, jump in. What do you think about it, too? I want to make sure we get to you as well. Just about her comments and just, you know, the landscape.
Excuse me. I mean, I wouldn't say that there's a disadvantage. I agree with Jay Moore on that. There's not a disadvantage, in my personal opinion. Maybe the type of artist that she's speaking of, maybe an artist like Chica, because she's a different type of artist, and she's dope, by the way.
Extremely
you don't
dope.
Hear a lot of her style, you know what I'm saying, being represented. But again, that goes back to what the majority of people want to hear. And she's talking about mediocrity when a lot of the most popular female artists, City Girls, are very mediocre, in my personal opinion. I mean, they have hot tracks, you know what I'm saying? They definitely are able to tap into that club and get everybody hype or whatnot. But I mean, lyrically, are we really considering them setting the bar per se for women lyricists?
Right. Right.
You know, I don't agree that there's more women spitters than men. I don't believe that. There are some very good, talented women out there that are spitting and are able to sing and cross over and eat on both ends of the plane. But I think I think her comment is a little too late, especially for her to be new in the game. And she's making strides, you know, if you know she's about
definitely making strides.
She could definitely check her project out. She was actually in a movie, I think that movie with Jamie Foxx as well.
She's been in movies, she's been in multiple ads, like for big companies, like, you know, clothing. Like she's been all over the place, man. Like a lot of people don't know about her, but she out there.
So she's making noise. Yeah. And she's making noise, but I just don't think she's making a point right now by saying that women are in a disadvantage because like Jay said earlier, I mean, they're pretty much dominating on the radio. Cardi B just dropped a song. Anytime Cardi B drops a song, she can announce it at the beginning of the week and the world will stop on the internet until she drops a song, and then they'll talk about it all day. And then it'll get played forever and ever and ever. So, I mean, I honestly don't see where the disadvantage is.
Okay. Jump in there, Long. What do you think about the comments I read and just the overall concept?
Yeah, I'm split on like my takes with what you're saying. I actually kind of disagree with you, Terry, a little bit. And J-Lo, I mean, I do feel like women are at a disadvantage in hip hop in general. I feel like it's just the women to men in society. I just feel like there's always more hurdles for a woman than there are for a man. So in that aspect, I disagree. But overall, the part that really kind of stuck out to me was when she said that there are more women spitters than men spitters. And she also said that we're not better. There's just more of us, densely packed spitters. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, like, I don't know, man. I can't think of like a whole ton of like women MCs. Like I can think of a lot of them, but I can't think of more women MCs that can spit better than some of the men. And that's not taking anything away from the women. It's just I see more men doing it. I feel like it's the opposite. I feel like way more men spitters. Like especially when we talk like some of the really top tier like men spitters, you know, like I'm a really huge Royce fan. Like I don't know any woman that's on par with Royce, and I know some really, really dope women spitters. You know, there's some women that are definitely out there making, you know, when you talk about the Ciroc's and the Rhapsodies. And
she's dope. Yep.
And we could just name all. I mean, again, Chica.
I mean, even Young Ma can spit a little bit, but.
Yeah, she can rap.
I just ain't her. I just don't know where she been. Like, I was very excited about her, but I just don't know where she been. Like, I ain't heard nothing.
But as far as, like, there being a ton of women spitters, like, point them my way, because I can be wrong, but I don't see them. Like, I mean, and this is coming from somebody that, and I feel like I can speak on this because this is what I do. Like, I get email submissions. Yeah. You know, I you know, everybody has access to submit music for free and for me to check it out. And we listened to some last Friday night, and the ones that we heard were kind of in the realm of popular, kind of trying to mimic what's going on with, you know, the popular women rappers right now. You know, like the City Girls or kind of what Meg's doing a little bit. And the Cardi B's, you know, that realm. Like, most of the women rappers that I'm seeing aren't actually as polished as a lot of the men ones. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, there are a ton of men rappers out there. Like, there are so many dudes that rap. Like, everybody raps. And so the amount of, like...
That aren't really polished.
The amount of really bad rappers that are men are really far. I think... I get what she's saying. I don't think it's accurate. So...
I think I'm more alone in saying, because I was with her on everything until she started talking about, I guess there's two ways you can look at it. You can look at it as she may have had a point, or it also speaks to, you know, the level of, you know, some of the music, because she was like, well, you know, you can use Meg as an example, like in terms of rapping against some of the dudes that rap. And I'm like, okay, I like Meg Thee Stallion. I like her story. I like, you know, what she stands for, but from an elite rapper standpoint, to Lone's point, I don't know if I could just point to her and be like, yo, that's the one I want to use. Like, maybe if she had used, you know, Psy-Rock or use Rhapsody or something like that, then I'd be like, okay, that makes sense. But when she used Meg, I was like, I don't know if that's the move in terms of that argument.
And she's not Meg is not even polished.
Even using Blueface and she's not. And even using Blueface as somebody that you want to kind of compare and contrast to, we don't fuck with Blueface.
Right.
What's the even on last Blueface song you heard? Yeah.
Yeah, like he after that Tatiana record was huge. I do know that, but I've always thought dude was a clown to begin with. Like there's plenty of women MCs that are light years ahead of dude, like by far. And I'm not talking about the elite ones. So I get that part. I'm kind of on more along the side of where Lone was going. See him like she's saying that maybe they are out there and maybe I'm tripping. Maybe it's what's popular versus, I don't know if there's even an underground exists even more with the internet, but I don't know. There's levels, always been levels to it, but I think I'm more along on the side with Lone on this one in terms of, the abundance that she's speaking about. I don't know if I'd necessarily see that. Respect her opinion. I think she's a dope artist. I'm a fan. Like anything she put out, I'm gonna check for it. But interesting conversation.
Yeah, she's dope.
She's dope. Like I rock with her. Like whatever she put out, I'm gonna check for it. But the Blueface, obviously, like Terry said, why even mention him? Like that's the headline. That's what got the, that's what
she was just trying to get these jokes off.
Yeah, she got him off on using him, and I think what she said was accurate. Like, but I see where she was going to get the joke off in the midst of having.
I even remember when people were trying to compare folks messing with 6ix9ine over Blueface, and it kind of was like 6ix9ine is making way more ripples in the water than Blueface. Why are we having this conversation? Because one's a blood, one's a crip. Is that why we're doing this? Because he didn't gain nowhere near as much steam as 6ix9ine did. And I mean, at the end of the day, they both whack, but 6ix9ine definitely was making the needle move a lot more than Blueface. So there was no real conversation about that.
Nah, I feel you. I'm never opposed to this conversation. I'm glad, she had people going back and forth and she was able to voice her opinion. I'm just,
when she says that the women in hip hop are light years ahead of the men when it comes to technical skill, she lost me at that point.
Yeah, she lost me on that one. Terrible. Yeah, that one right there.
Where did she
lost me on
from?
That one. That's one.
Yeah, I mean, if she's listening, back,
dude, that's like, how you mess up. Yeah, that's how you mess up your whole point.
Yeah, because she was cooking.
That's how you mess up your whole point by making a statement like that and then saying that.
Yeah, like she was cooking, but when if I'm gonna be fair and be consistent and be honest, I got to pull back on that one because I do not see that. But that's her opinion. I respect it, but I'm gonna have to disagree on that one. Shout out to her overall just for the conversation and being a dope artist. And if y'all haven't checked her out, please check her out because she is noise with it. All right, let's go to the next topic here. I believe that was Joe Budden Lone, which and this actually is we were just talking about. I feel like we were talking about Joe Budden and ownership, and we had that conversation a few episodes back. Don't quote me on the number, but I know we talked about Joe. He, has really made his way in the podcast game with Rory and Maul, and they have some good content. I like their podcast, and it was on Spotify, and we talked about the issues they had with Spotify, and then we went to, he was on YouTube and the Joe Budden Network, but now,
hey girl, it's good to see you.
Named as the head of, make sure I read it right, the head of creator equity at Patreon. So he's going to be moving his show over to Patreon, which I'm assuming, unless I read this wrong, will require a payment and a membership to see his podcast.
Yep.
So this is different. Like this, a guy that has like a show that has this much support. I actually saw a couple people that I know in Chicago, online on social media talking about how they don't want to pay. We've always talked about, Patreon and how you build your brand, but I saw multiple people being a little upset in terms of having to pay for the Joe Budden podcast moving forward. Lone, I want to come to you first. To me, this is a big move, like, from an ownership standpoint and him being an executive and moving over to Patreon. But what do you think the effects will be on his fan base moving to a know, a subscribe have to pay to listen to format? How do you think that's going to affect this fan base?
Well, first off, I wanted to make sure that that is the case, right? Is the entire show going to be...
No.
That's what I didn't think. So I thought it was just certain exclusive content,
additional content through the Patreon paywall.
Okay.
My apologies. I misspoke. My apologies. I thought he was taking the show over there. Okay. My apologies. Okay. Got it.
Yeah. So,
okay.
So I think this is smart. Well, this is actually something that, that we've actually talked about with us like years ago. And I brought up, about potentially having bonus content with that we do available, as you know, Patreon members,
yeah.
Or for our Patreon members, excuse me. We never actually pulled the trigger on it just because I wasn't sure exactly how we were going to do that. And like, what type of, you know, like, do we want to do that? Do we just want to create a new show? You know, like, or what that becomes.
And it does say exclusive content. That's my fault. I apologize. I thought he was taking the whole show over there, but still, we still have a talking point because it'll be content. Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So I think this is a smart thing. This is something that I think everybody that is a content, if you're a content creator and you're watching this, the number one thing that you can do for your content is have a Patreon. And that is because it is fully crowd-based. You have full control over it. And even more so than YouTube, more so than Twitch, if you're a streamer or whatever you do, you get the most reward back monetarily from a Patreon account than you do anything else. Mm. If you think about Twitch, if you subscribe to us on Twitch right now, you can do it for free with Twitch Prime, right? But if you subscribe regularly for $5, we get $2.50 of that. Amazon takes 50% of that profit, okay? If you are a Patreon member of ours for $1 or $2 or $5 or $6, or if you're one of our raffle people, we get 92% of that. So... For all content creators in general, you have full control of how you distribute things, but at the same time, you can actually get a reasonable amount of like income off of it depending on how you market it. So that's a long way to come back to say that I think it's a good idea for him to do this. It gives them more control, gives them more long-term revenue. And I'm looking at it here. It says he is given 3 membership tiers, the homies for $5 a month, family for 10, and friend of the show for 25. Now, I'm not sure if you get anything for those different amounts. But that's what I would guess that, you know, you get something different for each amount. So I think it's interesting, man.
Yeah.
I'm going to cut it short so we can keep moving, but maybe come back later. But what I'll say is that, I'm curious as to what Budden's actual role will be with Patreon and what this actually means for him. Like, I want to know what he's going to do for Patreon. Like,
I think
it brings more like eyes on the platform. But like, what is he going to do? That's what I want to know. So,
I mean, the release came out like, you know, well, at least the way I took it, in my opinion, it looks like he has you want to say a prominent role with them, you know, moving forward. But to your point, I don't know what that describes, like what he's going to do.
Right.
But I'm with you from, you know, monetary standpoint and branding and, you know, expanding. I think it's dope. I think this is a game changer because, you know, him having a podcast that's successful, but still having exclusive content that you have to pay and have tiers. That's a little different. Like I'm very curious to see how this works only because I've already saw a few people saying that they're not down with it because they were under the impression that I was under that the show was going to go over there instead of the exclusive content. So reading definitely is fundamental. Jay Moore, jump in, man. What do you think about this as a person? I know we've talked about the Joe Budden podcast. You said you like it. Like, does this entice you to possibly go over it and check out some of the content, or are you just going to rock with YouTube?
Well, you know, because I'll be honest, I'm a fan enough of the show that when they took all the new episodes and they stopped that partnership with Spotify, I was like, all right, well, how am I going to listen now? And now I have like the Google Podcast app, so I can listen to that and The Evening Jones with Bomani Jones. So, you know, those are two podcasts that were not available on Spotify. I got an app just to listen to those particular podcasts. And so It's going to be exclusive content that's over there. You know, I might think about at least joining it, what, the homie level, $5.
The $5 holla? Okay, okay.
You know, I mean, that's part of what, you know, when I go running, I very rarely listen to music. I listen to podcasts. You know, I want to get that information, whether it be something about sports or news or hip hop. You know, I like to feed my brain another way, you know, when I'm out doing workout. And plus, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes it keeps me motivated. I want to hear the end of the story or the end of a particular opinion on something. So I think this is for the install base that he has. I think this is a brilliant move, especially mm-hmm. if they're not trying to get his rights, if you will, you know, and they came with a check and they didn't say, okay, now you got to do this. You got to have this certain, he played the long game, and for all intents and purposes, it worked, you know, because
yeah.
apparently there were
sounds people like who, a partnership. Sounds like a partner, yeah, legit partnership.
We're just going to buy this. Yep. We're not going to give you any type of, you know, analytics as far as what your other than oh yeah, you were the number one podcast for this particular year, mm-hmm. and then we don't give you any other analytics, you know, but we still give we still give Amy Schumer more money than you. I mean, I completely understand mm-hmm. why, you know, they had to get away from Spotify and they weren't so quick to just partner with a Tidal or YouTube, or, you know, because once again, for these particular platforms, you know, they want you to sign over exclusivity and they want you to sign over rights, like to the point where you don't own your name or anything else. And it looks like he got a deal where he didn't have to sign over his rights and he's able to have creative control, and it's a partnership as opposed to just, okay, now we own you as a product. So, right. you know, for whatever yep. people think about Joe like Budden or about Rory and Mal or that, or whatever that they say on that, they have a following. It's very strong and they stuck to their guns. And it looks like at the end of the day, they won. So I got to give them props for that.
Okay. Yep. Okay. J-Dip, jump in there, man. What are your thoughts, man? Because it sounds like we think it's a win across the board. What you think?
Yeah, pretty much everybody else's sentiment on this for the most part. It's funny because literally from the time we came out, we've been using Patreon.
Yep.
It just hasn't caught wind with subscribers and everybody else as far as how we're using it. So it's funny to see one of the biggest podcasts in the game decide to take their platform over to Patreon. Now, how it plays out remains to be seen. I hope that he's successful with this and he brings other people over that are going to mm-hmm. possibly feed into other shows such as ours and you know, sign up for one of the tiers in order to support us and also win some free stuff, or, you know, just it's a good look at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Cause I never really checked out Spotify for the most part. I use other apps in order to listen to podcasts, but him moving over to Patreon is essentially like to the music business of Bandcamp, so to speak, because mm-hmm. with Bandcamp, you know, as an artist, you're getting more percentage of the coin versus with your content on YouTube or any other platform, you're getting a smaller portion of it. So it's definitely good to tap in all of those avenues in order to, you know, make what you create more profitable to yourself. So kudos to Joe Budden.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm definitely with that. He's on to something here. And like Long, you know, he said, I'm very curious to see what his role is going to be and how he's going to, yeah. you know, jump into that role and what that brings to the table.
I feel like at the same time, like maybe it is exposure because, you know, Patreon is very similar. Like Terry said, it is very similar to Bandcamp for musicians. Like Bandcamp has been around for a long time. But right. it's most people like rock with the Spotify's or the Apple Music's or the Amazon or the YouTube just because it's easier. But Bandcamp is so much better for artists because you get so much of a higher percentage. And Patreon's the same way. Like if you watch us, that's great. You know what I mean? Like if you subscribe on Twitch, that's great. But like if you go over and become a patron for $1 a month, that automatically gets deducted out of your account, yep. you know, it's very little for you, and that stuff adds up for us to be able to, you know, and all creators to be able to keep going. Like I'm a member of like, I'm like a patron for like four or five different people, even at small levels, just, and I forget about it until the next month. And I'm like, oh, there's my Patreon bill. And it's like $10 or something. You know what I mean? It's like mad small, but,
and I always tell people, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's a great way to support. It's almost the best way to support.
I always tell people what, you know, when we talk about Patreon and, this is, you know, we talk about the concept and you know, how it works. People always ask about how it works. The best thing that you said was the fact that you don't even realize it. Like some of the levels are, you know, like he said, the $5 homies level or, you know, $3 or $1 a month. Like you'll spend that just going out some to the gas station. You know what I'm saying? Like you don't really feel that amount, but you know, that money adds up for, you know, when you get 100 people doing that, when you talk about equipment and expanding. And,
I mean, you've got a new camera this week, so you can tell that's Patreon money.
Come on,
right,
man. Come on, man. Money. Come talk to them.
Microphones. Yeah,
and matter of fact, now that you said that, you know, I'm about to put you on blast real quick, because we always talk about, you know, it's known that we talk about your privilege on our show. But how did you describe my camera, just out of curiosity?
Crispy. It's pretty crispy.
So it was crispy. Now.
Don't you guys think it's pretty crispy?
Pretty crispy. Did you mean anything else by that, or?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's definitely because you're black and you like chicken. That was the double entendre.
I was just asking. I didn't know if that's how you was right going. You still my dude, though. You know, I just
I try to bring out as much racism as I can in the most blatant way. You know, so it's out in the front and the open. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, if we're gonna develop a fan base and we have, you know, supporters and stuff, I'd rather them know that that's how you get down instead of just, you know, going on YouTube and being surprised and they cussing you out in the comments. Like, we need to understand that Lone is who he is, and, you know, he's embracing that. So that's all that was.
I love my racism out in the front. You know what I mean?
You act like we doing a show. You act like we doing a show with Remy or some shit, man. You act like we doing a show with Remy.
Yo, shout out to all our
new
supporters.
New Orleans is not the place for that.
Yeah, not to play at all. Shout out to all of our supporters and lurkers and, you know, people in the chat that are old enough to even know who Remy is, because you might have lost some people right there. Jay Div, you might have lost somebody. They might not even know who Remy is. You know what I'm saying? So
how about Remy Martin?
They might not, man. But since we're talking about Patreon, I want to go ahead and say patreon.com/newoldheads for anybody that wants sign up and support our Patreon, since we're talking about Patreon.
Yep. Yes,
all that money, literally, like everything that we've bought has come from our Patreon. So, you know, the cameras, it goes right back into everything we do. So,
I take
the Patreon money. I spend most of it on cocaine and hockey jerseys. Just letting y'all know that right now. I don't know what they're talking about.
Yes, sir.
We get a whole heap of Patreon money if he's able to cop these jerseys and this cocaine like that.
Let me tell you.
Yeah, here moving bricks. That's why I call him Yay Moore.
Yes, sir.
If you guys
all white bricks all day long.
If you guys have found a Patreon out there,
all white bricks and the off white ones.
There might be a bootleg one that Jay Moore is running right now, because I haven't seen that cocaine money.
Hey, listen. Be clear. You know, I don't count my brother's pockets now. I don't do that. But be clear. Them hockey jerseys going to run you. You know what I'm saying? They're going to run you, you know, a couple hundred all, give or take. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, my man out here, I ain't saying he in them streets. He get it legal. I'm just saying. Those ain't cheap jerseys that my brother got on with the captain C on them. You know what I'm talking about? Those aren't.
Look, I tell you what. Either you gonna let me get my money in these streets, or I will get my money in these streets. So I'm just saying.
In these Patreon streets. Hey, man.
That's what he said.
It is what it is.
That C on his jersey is not for Captain, it's for cocaine.
Thank you. I see how you tied that in. Thank you.
Captain, hey, cocaine.
I know a kingpin when I see one. So, you know, I don't want no smoke. I'll stay out the way. I know a kingpin when I see one.
Let's run the long let.
We'd like to thank our partners of the New Old Heads Podcast.
Should we shout out to the partners?
No Bad Ideas Clothing Company. Coleman Dental. Printfinity. ND CD and Vinyl. Sun King Brewery. And the hub for all things New Old Heads, BringingDownTheBand.com. Remember, once you type Bringing Down the Band in the search bar on YouTube and the page populates, subscribe and hit the bell for notifications. And as always, we thank you for your support. Now back to the show.
All right. Shout out to our great partners that we have. As always, we appreciate Absolutely. Them.
I actually have some Coleman Dental
what you got?
Chapstick right here. I tried to put it in the camera earlier, but yeah.
I can see it when you pull back a little bit. I can see the K on there. You got any No Bad Ideas merch on today? Anybody got anything No Bad Ideas? Anybody
got I got that.
Sun
got
King glasses. Anybody got Sun King? I think Lone was drinking Sun King earlier. We got any
WeMac right now.
There's one. See, Yay Moore. Yep. Yay Moore got some Sun King. Okay.
I know. All right. I don't have any Printfinity on currently, but.
Printfinity I had a shipment that was posted. I've been waiting on my box. It's probably 3 or 4 years ago, but I think one day it's going on.
You've been their newest artist for at least 4 years.
I sent your stuff
to the
Starving Kids.
I
sent your stuff to the Starving Kids, man.
We sat down and talked about the Kansas City
championship shirts.
We sat down and talked about it. We crunched numbers. You know what I'm saying? We had a whole fall line. Everything was set, man. And then
was I at this meeting?
Yeah, you were there. And I didn't see anything, man.
Was I present?
Yeah, you were there. COVID hit and, you know, just kind of took a back seat. You know, family, the baby, all that. So I respect it. At some point, man, we're going to get that thing popping, man. We had a meeting, though. Be clear. We had a meeting. let's jump into this last topic, man. I thought this one was interesting. I saw an interview. Just Blaze was being interviewed on the, you know what I mean, Godcast, Lord Jamar. Godfrey's on there with him now. And who am I missing? Rodiga. Rodiga look good, too, by the way. Y'all, don't sleep.
I like her,
man. Plus, she can rap her ass off.
But
I might have to, man. But they had Just Blaze on there. He talked about a whole bunch of stuff. He talked about how when he first got to Rockefeller, like he couldn't talk to Jay-Z for like a year and a half. Like he was the new guy and he had to work himself in. And Jay would, you know, talk to him through a third party and be like, the drums are cool, but no. Or I don't like the sample or... You know, this is okay, but you got to tweak this. Turn the highs down. He went through a whole year and a half of that until he had a record that went off. I believe it was Beans? I think it might have been a State Property joint or something that went off. And Jay was like, oh, that's the kid, Just. He was like, yeah. And everybody was like, yeah. Oh, it's time for him to let's bring him in. And he gave him a whole studio room and baseline, and the rest is history. But one thing that he said that stood out to me, being a producer, alone, you'll be able to speak to this as well, is the importance of understanding, you know, when, you know, what an actual producer is. And he talked about how he got in an argument with Puffy because Puffy told him one time on a project they were working on, hey, man, just so you know, my name is going to be listed as producer all these records that we did. And Just Blaze is arguing and cussing him out. You didn't make the beat. You didn't do this. You didn't do that. And he said it took him years to understand that, you know, the guy that makes the beat is not necessarily the producer. And I've always been aware of this. Well, I'm not going to say always. I've had the conversation a lot. But when you make beats and you're a producer, sometimes you see people like Khaled can't. You know, I don't know when last time he touched the MPC. I know he used to produce, but he gets all these super producer credits. And people like Puffy, you know, he's got producer credits. And I don't know if he touched the drum machine or any of Biggie shit. But people always talk about how the producer is the guy that knows the engineer. He knows what songwriter to pair with the artist. He knows what sounds good here. He knows what sounds good there. And Just Blaze said it took him a long time to understand that, and he was in his feelings at first, but he had to realize what it was. So, Long, what do you think about that? Do you think a lot of producers now that are, you know, we could talk, like, shout out to the homie D-Frog. He's up and coming, you know, getting his bearings up underneath him. Like, do you think a lot of these producers now truly understand what that means? Because there was a point in time where I didn't. Like, I'm like, if you ain't make the beat, I don't respect you. You know what I'm saying? But I had to learn that, you know, there are levels to it, you know, and there are joints that Quincy Jones produced and he didn't play an instrument on. You know what I'm saying? So do you think producers that are up and coming are aware of that, or do they even care at this point?
I think it's we're in an interesting place right now because we're a handful of years into the whole like beat maker and producer overlapping, like that term, you know what I mean? Like there was a long mm-hmm. time where there was a time when beat maker and producer weren't interchangeable, and now it's yep. However much instrumental music there is out there, everything is just called a producer, and beat maker is just kind of a side thing at this point. I think it depends on like mm-hmm. where you're at musically, who you're working with, if you're working with others, and all of that, you know, kind of mixed together. Like you were a producer on Fox the Legends project. You didn't necessarily make everything, but yep. you were in there working with him and, you know, a part of the whole process of like putting that together. You know what I mean? That's the producer aspect of it. I think a lot of times that's where the beatmaker can completely overlook that. If they're like, if you're in a hip hop group and it's just you and one other person and you make the beats mm-hmm. and you record everything, you know, like you're the producer, you know what I mean? Like if you're the only, you know, a lot of times mm-hmm. there is no producer aspect. It's very rare, I think, for up and coming acts to have like an actual overhead executive producer or anything like that, like a Puffy mm-hmm. or a Khalid or even what you did with Fox and stuff like that. I haven't had very many instances though where I've ran into it like that being a problem, you know, like, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. so, you know, it's, I don't know if it's really an issue. I do think it's, I think it's an interesting thing to talk about, you know, sometimes I wonder the value of an actual producer, but I think sometimes I don't think it's as valuable as it is some other times.
That's what I wanted. That's the part. That's what I wanted. I was wondering if you were going to say that. The value, is the value overhyped sometime when you list someone as a producer?
I think like,
on the grand scheme of what we're talking about, the guys that we're talking about, because right. I think sometimes it can be overhyped. I think it can be exaggerated at times. Oh, this guy, he just knew everything to do. And I'm like, damn, come on, man. If you got the dream in the room with you, and A&R has picked through all of the bad beats and got 50 of the best ones out of 1,000 submissions, and then you're listening to the top 25 and trimming it down to 10, and the dream is in there. And I'm like, come on, man. Like, there's a lot that's going into that for you to say one person picked all of this and made it work. But you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think at the same time, though, you know, I do think that as well, while I agree with that, I think there is a particular skill set in being able to know what's going to work. You know, like even though a lot of the work's already been done, I do think if you have a really good ear, like whoever is Top Dog Entertainment's main producer mm-hmm. has a great ear. You know what I mean? Like they, like even from an A&R standpoint, all the artists have a very specific sound that fits within that, you know, that itself.
great.
You know, like Dre is obviously a really dope producer. Even mm-hmm. if he's not making the beats, he knows how to get the right producers around him. If it's a high tech or if it's a Danon Porter or, you know, like those guys are mm-hmm. crazy dope. It's
Khalil.
Crazy. Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, exactly. It's crazy to think of Danon Porter as a beat maker. You know what I mean? He is spectacular. He's like one of the best producers out there, but that's what makes Dre so good. As far as like Puffy and DJ Khaled, I don't know about Khaled, man. Like, I haven't really liked much. I feel like they're more...
I ain't going. I'm sorry.
Like, I think it's because their focus is less on the music and it's more so on, like, what will work. As opposed to Dre seems to have more
money,
of a...
He's man. He's pretty much just middleman and shit at this point.
Yeah.
Who is that, Terry?
In his career now, because...
Khaled.
DJ Khaled.
Yeah,
no, so, I wouldn't try to play Diddy. I wouldn't try to play Diddy because Mary J. Blige, was the 411, like all them albums that came out. So I'm not gonna play him. But Khaled, I'm not going on Khaled. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm a hater. I'll embrace it. But I'm not going on Khaled. I'm not gonna necessarily play.
We
Diddy.
Know. Yeah, I mean, but we know what. Maybe it's because we more pay attention or pay it attention because we were really into music back in the day that. that Puffy wasn't actually making all of these beats.
Right.
That Dr. Dre had a lot of help and a solid ass team surrounding him in order to make that sound. Although he was very instrumental in it as well. Like anybody that he's worked with producer wise, will never take any credit from Dre.
Yeah.
Because they'll say they put something out and Dre put his own twist, or he was able to give it that Dre sound.
Right.
Like even
took it to the next level. I read
an article about Nanon Porter. Yeah, about him working on 50 Cent's album. A lot of people don't even know how instrumental he was on Get Rich or Die Trying. And he was talking about how the things that he did, but how Dr. Dre was able to make shit pop, even though he didn't necessarily make all that instrumentation. And at the end of the day, as long as you're getting paid and your royalties and things are set, does it really matter that you're not mentioned as that producer? You know what I'm saying? And this is more talking, this is more you and Lone's lane, because y'all produce and y'all have credits here. And, you know what I'm saying? So y'all know exactly how that works.
I mean, I say
as long as the paperwork is good at the end of the day,
does
it really matter?
Ego is a hell of a drug, man. Ego is a hell of a drug.
I mean, even though I say no, you know, like if there's some sort of, I'll answer your question with another, like a statement. But what I'll say is that it doesn't really matter, but does it really hurt to have the producer's name on it too? You know what I mean? Like to say it was produced by Dre and Denon Porter. You know what I mean?
I see you on that. But in the same token, like say a ghostwriter. So is this the same comparison to somebody that's ghostwriting for an artist? And we know Puffy has used those endless times as well.
Royce, I believe, was one.
A ghostwriter. You know, that's a ghostwriter is not being mentioned at all, but they're still collecting. If the paperwork is right, they're still collecting on that shit from whenever it was set out and began up until now and into the future. So with that being said, is that a different ball game as far as being a ghostwriter versus being a producer who's not necessarily known producer track, but you got paid for it?
I think
you actually took the question right out of my mouth, because I was going to ask, that's what I was going to ask to Jay Moore. I was going to ask that to him for, as just, you know, as a consumer, just remove everything that you know and all the people that you know to do, you know, what we do and all that. But as a consumer, do you care? Or is it about, you know, like you're a hip hop head. Like let me take that back. I ain't gonna play you like you just a consumer. You a hip hop head. You involved in the culture. So you're going to see it differently. But does it matter to you? Like just from the outside looking in, does it matter to you in terms of what we're talking about?
I like to know who the people are who created this and found, you know, this sample. And you know, I'm that kid that read the credits, you know, back in the day, you know, and I didn't have any context for it, I wanted to know these people's names. But you know, when you talk about what a producer is, you know, I mean, Quincy Jones produced Thriller, you know, we talked about Quincy Jones, you know, not exactly playing every instrument, you know, but you know, we also know who Rod Temperton is. You know, he was the one who came up with the music, for a lot of these songs. And you know, then you had other people who came in with the lyrics, you know, but Quincy Jones is who essentially put it together. Because sometimes what you have is somebody, they know how to make a beat, but do they know how to tell Snoop, okay, this is what you're going to say, you know, change your cadence like this, make sure you ride the beat here. All right, we're going to drop this out here, and then we're going to switch this, and we're going to and then there's going to be a bridge here. You know, like a lot of times people can create these incredible beats, but can they really put together a song, especially when you're talking about, you know, being able to put a rapper, and, you know, also when you're talking about a singer, you know, I mean, for whatever you have to say about Puffy, you know, you got to think about it. Before he was even Bad Boy, this dude is basically a Hall of Famer. He, you know, he produced What's the 411?
Thank you.
My life.
That's why I can't blame. That's why I can't blame.
Forever My Lady and Diary of a Madman.
Yep.
That's the work he did before he even started Bad Boy. And then when he gets to Bad Boy, you know, he's the executive producer and produced a lion's share of, I mean, and the people who did produce other records, they got their props. But, you know, the guy who put it all together is Puffy, Diddy, whoever, Brother Love, you know what I'm saying? And so on top of those four albums that I just, you know, mentioned, he's got Ready to Die under his belt. Those five albums, which put him in the Hall of Fame, you know, regardless of anything that you have to say.
That's a great point.
And it's not just because he produced those beats, but he was able to say, okay, I mean, Machine Gun Funk is dope. And this is a story, like if you've ever read Unbelievable, or you saw it in the movie.
Yeah.
You know, but he's like, okay, this is what we need to do if we're going to get on the radio and really be able to rock. And so what you're going to do, we're going to loop up M2 May and we're going to get Juicy and we're going to get that on the radio. Unbelievable is going to be your B-side. Because if you leave it up a lot of times to the artist, you know, Unbelievable and Machine Gun Funk would have been singles for Biggie. You know, someone who has to have that other vision, not only artistically, but, you know, when it meant a lot more to move things commercially. You know, so, I mean, I understand there are some people who, there are a lot of artists who can do both, you know, because let's be honest, in the beginning, Dr. Dre was doing both. He was producing those NWA and those Eazy-E records.
Early,
and he was the
early Dre was heavy on the beats. Early Dre was heavy on the beats, especially back then. You know, he was making all the beats. Like,
when there are certain records where we'd have thought they were okay when Dre puts his, you know, his stamp on it. Oh, these records are incredible. I don't know if he actually snapped out the beat for In the Club, but I guarantee you In the Club or a song like Heat, another record that wasn't even a single off of Get Rich or Die Trying. You know, when you hear those records, you're like, my God, you know, that they just have something to them. That Dr. Dre magic is there. You know, even if he wasn't sitting there tapping that out on the MPC or looping up the vinyl.
If you listen to,
I understand. Think that, but you know these people are producers. There are some people who can do both, but you know, it's not often that people can do both and do it well.
If you listen to the Chronic 2001, and Terry, I'm coming to you because I know you was jumping in. If you listen to the Chronic 2001, like Mike Dean, all these guys that are playing keys and stuff like that, like sonically, if you listen to that album, man, like how it sounds, it's one of the crispiest albums I've ever heard in my life. When you really sit down and listen to it, like put it in the proper speakers and really sit down and listen to how everything is panned and the snares.
The intro to it is the Dolby sound.
Oh, like
I think that
album, Chronic 2001,
is the Dolby sound effect.
I could
it's
be
ridiculous,
wrong.
Man.
I could be wrong,
it's
but
crazy.
I believe.
And it also,
I believe, I was going to say, I believe that album specifically changed how music was mixed in hip hop. Because of the compression because of the compression that was used on that album. I think I could be wrong, but
Dr. Dre.
And to add to the producer stuff real quick though, even album sequencing is very important as well, because somebody can produce a whole bunch of beats, but if they don't sound good following up on one another, you have somebody else that's taking the executive producer credit, and they know how to sequence that sound to make that album sound cohesive. Then, and that's where a producer comes in as well, versus not exactly just producing the tracks, but how you actually hear them.
And like, if you listen to, I don't know, man, there's so many joints that stand out to me that Dre has touched where I'm just like, yo, I wish I had that snare, or I don't know what he laid on top of it. Is it sandpaper? Is it a pad on top of it? It feels like there's three things on top of it. Like West Side Story on the Game's album. Like
The documentary.
The snare for that, like, is crazy. Like, when you really listen to that, it's nuts. And the mixing and the engineering, so... You know, there are levels to it, man, but I'm sorry. I ain't going on Khaled. Now, I'm not mad at Diddy. Diddy, we're going to set him over to the side. He got multiple classics, but I'm not going on Khaled. I'm sorry. And if y'all want to say something in the comments, I'm going to do better on the comments. I'll jump in. You know, we just have a good conversation, talk about it. I ain't mad, but I'm not going on Khaled. If y'all can prove me wrong, I'll stand corrected, but I'm not going on Khaled. I'm sorry. I don't see it. I don't see it.
I mean, he's just good at piecing people together to get in the studio and make something.
He definitely knows everybody. I give him peace for that. Like in terms of his, you know, his ability to get people together and to get a lot of people to come in for his album. That's a skill too, or you mm-hmm. you connected or something. Like he knows how to get people in, but all of his albums be like 25 joints and like four of them is dope. But every song got a feature on it. Like I'm cool. Like I'm cool. Yeah. Unless I miss something, I'm cool. Right, this conversation.
I mean, here lately he makes sure he go to Drake first.
Gotta go to Drake.
He go to Drake first.
Yeah.
And then he try to get Jay-Z and Beyonce on some shit and whoever's yeah. making waves at the time. I mean, he's got his formula down. And it's definitely
paying, he got it down pat. Yeah, he got it down pat. He's successful now. I don't get it twisted. He's successful, but top of the Maybach, all that shit, I'm cool. Like, I was cool.
I mean, there's cool a lot of good that. Points that were brought up because we talked about the just kind of how all these things overlap from the beat maker to the producer to the executive producer to the A&R to song sequencing to the mix engineer. Like, a lot of this stuff overlaps yeah. in different ways. So,
I don't even think the A&R exists anymore, man. I could be old. I might be the old. This might be the old head part, not the new part. But I don't think A&Rs exist. Like, I think people just...
Well, A&R exists. I mean, like, for example, you got Gucci, who people are saying...
Nah, I'm talking about new artists. I'm talking about new and up-and-coming artists.
I mean, you're talking about A&R new artists.
I got you. Okay.
I'm saying there's Tyler, him and AR from following. Now, and if okay. that's your type of music that you fuck with, then to you, it might be like he's okay. finding the greatest acts ever. I mean, you talk about who he started with. I mean, he had, what's her name? Nicki Minaj at one point.
Yeah.
He had, what's his name? Waka Flocka. I want to say the Migos kind of started out with Gucci, and
they started with him.
But
was this a Coach K thing?
Yeah. So I mean, he's got a pretty good track record. Well, I mean, these are people that he found beforehand, and then and they kind of passed on to Coach K or QC.
Terry, I guess my point is in saying but, that is. My point in saying that is I think now everything is so streamlined. It's use right to the label and then you out and it's put out. Like there is no development. There is no let's work on this or, you know, let's tweak this. It's like, nah, he got a million views. He owned. Let's get him out there. You know what I'm saying? That's all I meant by that.
Yeah. And that's accurate. That's very accurate.
Yeah.
I just think things are streamlined now. Like, I don't think none of that. That shit don't matter like it used to.
Yeah. Even further. It's
it's middlemaning. It's middlemaning game right now.
But and even further, it's very much like that with all creative media right now. It's more important for people to have a following than it is to be good at what they're doing. And so if you get your following first, then you can take the time to hone your craft, which is completely opposite from like what I remember it being when I was coming up. It was my whole train of thought was get good and then show yourself to the world. And then by the time like I got good, it was like completely the opposite. And I'm like, well, fuck, I wasted all that time. Being good. I could have just, you know, born at the wrong time, I guess. I don't
know.
Could have just put your shit out.
The 20-year-old now is like, I don't need to get good. Let me get popular. That's evolution. Like, it is what it is.
Let me get popping on this
Instagram. It's hard to,
let me show my face. Let me make sure I dress real fresh.
Yeah, I'm lit.
It's weird to accept, too. Like, I mean, I'm older now, and it's like, man, like, there was literally, like, I spent all this time working on all this, and then I had to come to the conclusion later on, like, wow, things have really shifted in the process of me getting good at my craft. Like
nobody cares. How popular are you? Yeah. Sad but true. You know what I mean? Sad but true. Yeah. But that's just the game, man. Like, we not hating. It's just an assessment. It's just a fair assessment. All right. So I think we're coming up right on an hour. I think we started at 9:45. Did I miss anything? You guys got anything else to say before we get out of here?
Thanks for rocking with us as always.
I didn't mean to ignore the chat tonight. I'm sorry, y'all. I usually rock with y'all, so I apologize. I don't think I didn't mean to ignore the chat. DJ Corey T, I see you, my boy from out east. Who else is in here? DJ Obi-Wan, I see you. Frog is always in the building. The flood, my guy, the flood is in the building as well. Appreciate you. So, chat, we always appreciate y'all. Continue to rock with us. We talked about Patreon tonight. Go look your boys up on Patreon. You know, throw us a couple bones a month. You won't even see it come out the account.
Indeed.
Check us out, man. New Orleans Network, as always. Subscribe and follow. And we will see y'all next week. Stay tuned for the post show for a little bit. Holla.
Peace.